Good evening, everyone. It's an absolute privilege to be here amongst, I'm told, as I came in this evening, the best, the finest brains in the country. No pressure there. I'm here to talk about the riveting subject of which you've heard some of public procurement, of which I've been in and around for longer than I care to remember. Riveting, as described by my minister, Francis Maude, who is the first minister, I have to say, who is absolutely passionate about public procurement. I'm not here, you may be disappointed to hear, to preempt the government's response to the report, but what I will do in the next 15 minutes is give an outline of the scale of of procurement reform that's currently underway by the government, and in particular I will pick out a number of areas which I think are absolutely crucial to the stimulation or perhaps simulation of innovation. So here goes. The Efficiency and Reform Group, as Lord Crabbe said, we are a new group. We are really a loose confederation, an agenda of all of the things that you see up there to drive efficiency and reform in government. We're here tonight to talk about those two boxes in the middle of centralised procurement and the box for which I'm responsible, procurement policy and capability. Ian Watmore leads this group. He's the government's chief operating officer. And as we've already talked about, Francis Maude is the Minister for Procurement. The government's mission and strategic goals for procurement, I'm not going to dwell on this other than to talk about the bits for which I'm responsible, 5 and 6. The UK's procurement policy, including delivery on the SME programme and the government's aspiration that 25% of business should go to SMEs, and actually leaning the procurement process. Absolutely fundamental to achieving greater stimulation of innovation, but actually achieving the reform agenda in procurement is improving capability. It comes through, I'm sure, in all of those reports that we saw earlier in terms of getting better at who we've got delivering public procurement. So what are we doing? A fundamental change in the way training is delivered to civil servants. We are putting together a package that we're calling Licence to Operate that will have three components. A licence to source, and it's absolutely at that area, pre-procurement, where the most emphasis needs to be put on stimulating innovation. A licence to category manage, and actually equally important, a licence to contract manage. Too often contract management is a forgotten skill, something that's not done by a procurement professional. And actually, it's absolutely pointless having innovation up front and the most fantastic idea if you don't actually drive that through contract implementation. Francis Maude challenged some of our key suppliers to government before Christmas about the capability issue and said, we want to get some of your best people into government and we want a continuous flow and interchange of private sector best commercial expertise through government. I'm running an interchange programme with the first 15 of those companies that have seen those firms providing resource into government, and in return our people will go out, and Francis Maude wants to scale that up into much more than commercial skills. So it's much broader, and it's something that's kind of endemic in ERG in that we have a continuous flow of industry exchange. Lastly, an apprenticeships programme, very early stages on that, but something again which we can scale up considerably. So the procurement process. The Science and Technology Committee will have seen this as I was the official giving evidence on this. Again, before Christmas, we undertook a lean study of the procurement process for the first time. Even to someone like me who's been around for a long, long time, the findings here were staggering. People often complain about the rules and the process. It's not often the rules that add complexity and length to the procurement process. It's the way that we implement them. You can't see that very well, but lots and lots of stakeholders told us, you know, it's an absolute minefield. You know, we have lots and lots of hurdles to get over in the process. We stop and we think and then we wait and then we have 17 approvals processes and, you know, eventually we may get to a contract. Actually, the future state, you know, we want everybody to know where the start is and start at the same time. Actually, we want lots of things running in parallel. And we think that we can take complex procurement down from something like 400, 450 days. This is based on evidence from complex projects in the public sector to 100 days. That is a staggering reduction in time and cost, and I think will be an incredible lever for innovation. Because if we've got, you know, if we've got firms entering the competition because the procurement process won't take a year, that gives a pretty good incentive. You can challenge me and say, well, yeah, it's all very good to see that written on paper. How on earth are you going to implement it? We've actually got a number of Pathfinder projects that are now underway, whose procurement and commercial teams are being trained in Lean, and Francis Maud is holding me to account in delivering those sorts of numbers. And actually, he's champing at the bit to say, I want all government procurement to be run within these timescales. We have got to prove that we can do it, and I'm confident we can. I won't dwell on that. Some main findings from the study, but just to pick up on something Lord Krebs said, the early part of the process and getting that right is absolutely fundamental to the way that we move forward. I'm going to move on to another. I talked about SMEs. Encouraging SMEs is one of the government's key priorities. In March, on the Number 10 website, an innovation launch pad was set up. This was the first such initiative to actually say to small businesses, actually, we are open for business. We are interested about hearing how you can save the government money. 400 proposals, 12,500 civil servants voted on those proposals, and we are now shortlisting them to come and give a presentation at Number 11 on the 19th, Downing Street on the 19th of July. I had the privilege of sitting alongside a business person in mentoring some of those companies for later in the month. There really are some exciting things coming through there. This is just the start of what will be a continued programme of SME engagement. I can see in the audience I saw earlier my colleague from the Department of Transport. Last Friday, the Department of Transport held a product surgery, a working title. We hope lots of other departments will be inviting firms in and saying, here is our future business need, what can you do to match it? This is outside of any formal procurement. This is really keeping that dialogue going. Transparency, another really important tool, I think, for this kind of intelligence that we're talking about here in terms of contracting and contractual documents, has never been available before. It has never been opened up. These were the commitments made by the Prime Minister last year. We launched something called Contracts Finder. For those of you that haven't come across it, I urge you to go and have a look at it. It's really incredibly interesting what the government is buying and also under what terms. This kind of information is crucial for industry to pick up and see what's happening, to be able to develop their proposals. Oops. Okay, it's open, it's modern, firms are telling us they like it. We want it to be the single place for small firms to go and get find out about government opportunities. But actually, it's driving a different sort of behaviour in government departments. It's not really a league table because they're not really in order of score, but that's just to... Each month we publish this on the Cabinet Office website. It says, how many tenders have you let? How many documents have you published? How many contracts have you published? So we're holding people's feet to the fire in terms of accountability for meeting those commitments. There's some examples in the pack of how Contracts Finder is being used. This is really exciting. For the first time, we are seeing small firms taking government data and using it and repackaging it and selling it back to us and doing things with it. We've got our first Twitter feed a couple of weeks ago from Contracts Finder, taking the data and repackaging it. That's exactly what the kind of open data initiative's all about. A couple more things I want to mention. New forms of contracting. Again, a colleague from Costain talked about what's the most appropriate form of contract. Actually, what we're seeing in government now is completely new forms of contract that we've never seen before. Mutuals is one, joint ventures, employee ownership. I think important, bottom right there, the growth opportunities for having these new types of joint ventures set up. One of the things that Francis Maude is lobbying for in the review of the procurement directives is that mutuals and joint ventures are given space to grow before we have to go to a full competition. I think that's an important negotiating objective for us. One other thing I would say about new models, actually having a much more dynamic marketplace is really important for innovation too. So we often get a lot of criticism about the use of things called framework agreements. They're set up, people are locked in for 4 years at a time. People don't often, you know, they may not get business from this type of contract. It's really, really important we start to see that move through, you know, much more open procurement, much more dynamic procurement. Again, smaller firms will respond to that type of contract. So to conclude, I think this concurs with what we've heard already. Getting an innovative solution, the chances of its success decrease as you go through the procurement process. The thinking and all of that knowledge and the way that you want to deliver the outcome needs to be done up front. A reminder, of course, of our European principles as set out in the directives. We do have to comply with those. Francis Maude would like us to reduce every single regulation in there to the irreducible minimum. So there should be less regulation in a few years' time than we have now. And to conclude, we believe that the government's reform agenda in procurement can stimulate innovation by working particularly in the following areas. And if I had to pick one of those, I would say it's about the capability of the people that we've got undertaking the procurement.